Persephone was alone in her bedroom, isolated high in the keep, surrounded by several feet of Frey-quarried stone. There was only the one narrow window, and it faced away from the rest of the wrist. The door to the room was closed. Persephone sat in the quiet, rubbing the silver ring that hung from the chain around her neck. Regland's ring. She tried to remember who had given it back to her. Conniger had been wearing it when he died.
Someone must have delivered it after burying him. But who? Torp, maybe? Or Whedon? Or... no. It was Tressa.
Tressa had dutifully delivered the chieftain's ring.
How could I have forgotten that?
She nodded to the stars outside the open window across from her bed. Tears had been in Tressa's eyes. Her cheeks were worn riverbeds from facing the loss of a husband. Persephone knew what that felt like. Persephone had lied, telling everyone that Conniger died while hunting the bear known as Grin the Brown. She had felt no need to speak ill of the dead or embarrass the living, but word had escaped. Word always got around in Adal. Persephone had no idea how Tressa learned the truth or who might have told her. Maybe Tressa herself couldn't accept that her husband was a martyr and had asked questions. Regardless, Tressa had learned the truth, and yet she still brought the ring. She may be a bitch, but she was no coward. The silver ring that had lived on Persephone's husband's hand for more than 20 years was all she had left. Some of that silver had been tarnished. Reglan had given Maeve a daughter, then ordered her taken away to die in the forest to hide his transgression. The man she'd loved unconditionally for 20 years, the man she'd trusted, had done more than just deceive her. He'd been a monster, killed a child, or thought he had. Such an idea was difficult to reconcile. Such tarnish was impossible to remove. She drew the ring off the chain and held it up in the flickering light of the candle that rested on the little table near her. It had been a year. The mourning was over. She spoke to the circle of silver.
I know you loved me, and I still love you, no matter what you did. I can't stop that. Can't make it not be. And I miss you. I miss you so very badly. Still remember your scent, you know that?
A tear slipped, rolling down her cheek. She let it fall.
We were a great team, you and I. And it's stupid, the things I keep thinking of. The way you bounced your foot at meetings, or the silly sound of your laugh. I sometimes think I hear it in a crowd and I look, but it's never you. Things have changed.
No one could hear. Still, the words were hard to say. She needed to hear them, needed to say them out loud to make it real.
Things are different now that you're gone. You understand that, right? You were always so practical. And I'm the Keenig now. Yeah, can you believe that? Me, Keenig. I have responsibilities. Things I have to do. You taught me that.
She let the ring slip into her palm where she squeezed it. She closed her eyes and more tears fell.
I forgive you.
Those words were loud in her heart.
I forgive you, my love. I hope you can do the same for me.
She reached out her arm, opened her hand, and let the ring drop. She heard the small circlet roll away.
Goodbye, Reglan.
She cried then into the palms of her hands. After what felt like a long time, she wiped her face and took a breath. She felt exhausted, all the muscles in her body sore and weak as if she'd been in a fight, and she felt empty and alone, so very alone. She sat with her eyes closed and head back, listening to herself breathe. Then she opened her eyes. Persephone watched the thing come in through the window, pale as the dead, long and lanky, and with black oily hair that hung to the floor. Seeing it, staring at it, Persephone still couldn't understand how it was getting through such a narrow opening. Mice do the same thing, squeeze themselves down like that, but this wasn't a mouse. Persephone had seen its like before and backed away in horror.
No, run, get out!
She spun and moved for the door. Grasping the latch, Persephone lifted and shoved. The door unlatched, then hit something and refused to open any further.
Help!
No one is coming.
The sound of its voice reminded her of snapping bones and hissing snakes. The thing was still squeezing through the window, oozing inside, the fleshy goo of its body revealed to be a boneless bag of skin.
Can't get away.
Help! Someone! Anyone! Open this damn door!
Nowhere to run! Nowhere to hide!
The Rao's head and shoulders were already in, the thing busily working on getting its hips through, twisting and pushing against the walls. Persephone wished for the dwarven sword she'd once carried, but settled for a 2-foot-long, 4-prong brass candle holder. Across the room, the Rao grinned, revealing jagged teeth. The thing was drooling. Long strings of salivary anticipation glistened from its lips. Its red eyes glowed bright and wide with excitement as it stared at her.
Yes! Yes! Such a beautiful, succulent face!
With candelabra in hand, she charged. Instead of hearing a satisfying crack, Persephone felt like she'd hit a bag of sand. She never got a second swing. Clawed hands struck fast as snakes. She backed away. The candelabra fell out of her hand. She hadn't meant to let it go, but she'd heard the metal rattle when it hit the floor. Persephone hit the floor, too. Her legs had folded on their own. One minute she was standing, the next she was sitting with her back up against the bed. She clutched her stomach as a dull but growing pain spread. She wanted to get up, but her legs wouldn't have it. Something else. Her nightgown clung, slicked, to her skin.
How did I get so wet?
Her nightgown was shredded, the ivory cloth no longer white. She wanted to get up and run to the door, but her legs refused to do anything more than slide around in the slippery puddle that formed beneath her. The only thing she could do was sit and watch as the Rao continued to ooze through the little window. An outstretched and bony hand extended into the room, straining with grasping claws, reaching for Persephone's face.
So soft, so sweet. So hungry. Don't move, or you can taste you already.